look at how volatile this is. Like, it's incredible. It's just shooting up and down, and there's no options market for this. There's no professional place to speculate and hedge efficiently on this crazy moving asset. And I was just like, how is this possible?
Hello, welcome to episode 21 of the Bitcoin Game. I'm Rob Mitchell. This podcast is my opportunity to learn from all types of people involved in cryptocurrency. Mix cryptography, finance, and decentralization, and Bitcoin comes to mind. Today we get into finance as we talk to Marco Cuesta of Alt Options. This company is aiming to bring a high-end option trading platform to Bitcoin. While Bitcoin's volatility is often seen as a negative, option trading platforms can capitalize on very volatile markets like Bitcoin. Alt Options earned second place at the startup pitch competition at Inside Bitcoins in Chicago shortly after this interview took place, and the company is planning to go live with Bitcoin option trading by the end of summer. In the meantime, you can sign up for a beta account and test your option leveraging skills on paper. I'm here with Marco Cuesta, CMO and Vice President of Global Sales at Alt Options.
That's me. It's very nice to meet you. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you just start at the beginning and explain how it all works?
Sure. Yeah, I'll explain the basics of derivatives and options. So a derivative is a contract, financial contract normally, that derives its value from an underlying asset. So traditionally, that's been, you know, stock or gold or something like that. But in our case, it's Bitcoin. So the type of style of options that we have is called American options on our platform at Alt Options. And what that means is that you can buy or sell a certain Bitcoin at a later date or before that date, the expiration, at a certain price. So the easy way to explain it is basically it's like a coupon to buy or sell Bitcoin at a certain price before or on a later date at that expiration. So, you know, one way that that could work in your favor is, let's say, think of it, the coupon is like a pizza coupon, let's say. So you go out and you get this coupon from Papa John's for like, you know, a $20 pizza, but you only have to pay $10 because of the coupon. And let's say, you know, some horrible disaster happens in that town and all the pizza places are wiped out, including most of the Papa John's, except for one of those. So, you know, because of supply and demand, the price for that pizza would skyrocket, you know, technically. Could be worth like $100, but you have that coupon to buy that pizza for only $10. So you can either, you know, exercise that coupon, buy the pizza, and you'd make, you know, tremendous profit right there. Or you could just say, hey, I don't want the pizza. I would rather actually just sell that coupon to somebody and just get the cash instead of actually profiting off of the, you know, pizza itself.
Okay.
It's pretty much the basics of options and, you know, derivatives, the very basics, but, you know, you could go on for days with the different types of derivatives there are, even the different types of options. Some out there, options, like in the Bitcoin space right now, are usually only vanilla or more appropriately called European options, meaning you can only exercise them on the expiration date.
Mm.
But, yeah, that's not what we offer. What we offer is American style, which is harder to price because you have that variability. You can, you know, exercise it any time before the expiration date, but it gives the user better optionality.
Can you give me maybe a couple different examples of reasons and ways people would use your service?
Yeah, sure. So like, let's say you're a Bitcoin ATM company. You could go and you would say, hey, you know, I need to buy 20,000 Bitcoins or something per month. So let me buy some contracts to buy, you know, like a coupon to buy at a certain price before the month is up. That way you can kind of lock in your expenses. You say, hey, I paid this much for this contract. I know I'm going to get this specific price for Bitcoin. So it makes business more predictable for your month-to-month expenses. Another way could be, let's say you're a corporate treasury. You know, you're one of these mining companies or something. You have a certain amount of coins that you have in stock. And so you'd say, hey, let me buy a put I'm sorry, I didn't explain that before. An options contract to buy is called a call, and an options contract to sell is called a put. So that contract that I was saying before, you know, the ATM company, that would be call, and this one for the corporate treasury or, you know, a mining company, just a company that holds Bitcoin, they could buy a put, and the put is a right to sell at a certain price before the expiration. So you could lock in a certain price there, no matter if, let's say, Bitcoin, God forbid, impossibly went down to $80, you know, a Bitcoin, the market price. If you have a put that says, I can sell you this at, you know, $200, that person has to accept it. And so you sell the $80 asset for $200 to this person, and you profit from that. And that's actually an insurance strategy. It's called a protective put.
So let me ask you, in the first example with the Bitcoin ATM, I mean, my just first thought was, would it be wise to lock in a certain figure not knowing which way Bitcoin is going to go? I mean, isn't that risky if it goes the wrong way? Or
that's the beauty of options. Depending on the type of trading that you're doing in your portfolio, you really only can lose the contract's value. So, you know, you pay this much for this coupon. Let's say you have that call to buy it for $200, but the price goes down to $100, like right before the expiration, and you haven't executed it yet. That's what we call out of the money. That means that, yeah, you can't really make any money with it, because why would you buy Bitcoin for $200? That's the market price is only $100. It doesn't really make sense. So, yes, there are chances that the contract will end up being worthless. But, you know, you have to use your best judgment and just structure your portfolio to make sure that doesn't happen. Instead of buying the Bitcoin outright and spending all of that initial cash, you spend a small fraction of that to buy the contract. So it gives you that optionality to actually exercise and doesn't expose you to that risk of holding Bitcoin by itself.
Okay, so the key word is option,
I guess. Yeah. Like in that example I just said, they allow you to speculate more efficiently rather than, you know, putting out all that money to buy the underlying, to just buy the Bitcoin itself. You can buy that contract.
Okay, so this is a lot different than shorting a stock where you are kind of locked into that.
Yeah, it's much better. You still can short, but it's better for your risk to use options to do that.
The BitGive Foundation is a nonprofit charitable giving organization leveraging the power of the Bitcoin community to improve public health and the environment worldwide. Help us demonstrate the significant impact of Bitcoin in addressing these critical issues on a global scale. Support international giving in Bitcoin. Please visit our website at www.bitgivefoundation.org. That's www.bitgivefoundation.org.
Thanks, Tatiana. Right now at BitGive.org, there's an auction with proceeds going to the BitGive Foundation. They have all kinds of cool stuff, and I've bid on a few things, one being an autographed copy of Andreas Antonopoulos' book, Mastering Bitcoin. You'll even find an auction for an ad on this very podcast, giving you a chance to advertise on the Let's Talk Bitcoin network feed while donating to charity with the same dollars, or bitcoins. Think about it. A tax-deductible business expense that helps your company and helps BitGive do their charity work. Don't miss this opportunity. BitGive's second annual auction ends July 22nd, 2015. Check it out at BitGive.org. How do you guys make sure that you're covered? I mean, I can't even wrap my head around what you would have to do. Are you guys always the other side of any of these options, or do you find someone who's kind of like the other side of one of these options? How does that work?
We're only creating a venue for these people. You know, obviously there are market makers that we have to increase liquidity on our platform, but when it comes down to it, it's the users that are writing and buying contracts. Writing just means creating them for their, you know, putting them into existence. So we don't actually hold any assets. We don't trade ourselves on the platform, or the employees or any employees of ours. We just create a venue. So that brings up the question, like, you know, what about counterparty risk? How are people going to deliver on these contracts once they're executed, if they're even executed? And so many contracts expire out of the money. Those we don't even have to worry about execution, but for the ones that will be executed, we do have a margin system on our platform to ensure basically you have to have a certain account value to have these options written. So, you know, if it goes below a certain amount, you're going to end up getting a call from us, and it'll say, you know, you need to like cash in these assets, like put into US fiat or something, or some sort of nature of that, just to protect the people that have the contract on the other side, you know, people who bought this call to buy an option from you or something of that nature.
I assume all this would be automated on your platform?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be automated. The very early versions, just for safety, you know, we're going to be heavily manually checking these as well, just to make sure everything's all right, because safety is of the utmost importance. And specifically, actually, in later versions of our platform, once we release it, we're going to be clearing these contracts, you know, on a side chain on the blockchain, so that it actually is, you know, much more secure in execution and easier, actually, even for regulators to keep an eye on once the system is developed for them to watch over this. You know, they could just have computers do this. They don't even need individual agents anymore once everything is written on the blockchain.
So you brought up regulators. How do you guys fit in the current regulatory environment?
Well, so the U.S. is a tricky place, with the exclusion of New York. But, you know, Manhattan's, I always like to joke, is not really the United States. It's something different. But what we're looking at here is there aren't any solid laws except for, you know, the BitLicense right now in the United States. The IRS has chosen to look at Bitcoin as an asset. That's one tough thing in the U.S. We don't really know if we're breaking the law all the time, just because, you know, it's not really stated outright. But that doesn't mean that you should try as hard as you can to talk to these regulators, see what can be done, just because, you know, nobody wants to be sued in the space, especially as a startup. That will kill you. So we end up having to, we've talked to CFTC, and we think that some sort of regulation under them would be most appropriate for us. Other than that, you know, many people are even trying to get bank charters, in a sense, to be treated as a bank, because that basically the, you know, money transmitter licenses and all of that sort of thing, those are all covered under that. But you need an extreme amount of assets to be counted as a financial institution like a bank.
I assume you guys need to know your customers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. For this type of business in the U.S., yes.
Are you guys actually actively operating?
Not quite yet. So what we have right now is a private beta, which, you know, anybody can sign up for. Specifically, you know, they go on the site. My contact information is there. Everyone's is there. Their LinkedIn, their personal emails. Email me if you'd like this trading account set up for anybody who's interested. But once we develop the platform a little bit farther, we'll have the public beta. And this is temporarily all just paper trading. You know, we're trying to work out the bugs, make sure everything is secure, smooth, scalable. And once we figure that out, we're going to integrate our banking partner fully and our Bitcoin wallet service provider.
Is leverage part of what you guys offer?
That's the whole thing about options. They give you that leverage ability. Like I said, you could hedge and speculate more efficiently. So the leverage factor is that you spend much less money, like you pay that little premium so that you have much more optionality. You don't give up all the cash that you have. And so that area is something that you can speculate on. Like, let's say, like, one portfolio thing is like you own one Bitcoin and you're bullish on Bitcoin. So you say, okay, I know the price is going to go up. Like, there's absolutely no way that it's going to go down. Of course, that would be lying to yourself, but you have a pretty good hunch. And so you would buy a call to purchase more Bitcoin at a later date, and just so that you don't actually purchase it, you don't extend yourself that far. So you could have a whole Bitcoin and say, yes, I would like to buy some more at a future date, and that is speculating efficiently without giving up all that cash. As opposed to that, yes, you can also hedge your assets. Like I said, there's the protective put. If you own a Bitcoin, you could have a protective put on one Bitcoin so that you can sell that. God forbid the price goes down. You'll be insured at that certain price with the ability to sell it at, you know, 180 or 220.
Okay. So, and even with some kind of leverage, there will always be someone on the other side, so we don't have to worry about you guys blowing up or something.
That's the whole margin calculator that we have in our system. So, you know, if the person who wrote those contracts is engaging in risky behavior, we'll shut them down before they're able to, you know, do too much damage. And of course, we all ensure all delivery on the contracts that we have. That's essential for trust with our customers.
Is there any room for error? I have no idea if this is just an exact math that, okay, we exactly have this person covering this other person's option, or is there room for error where you guys could, you know, in theory, or anyone could not have it quite right and there could still be issues?
Well, let's say if something happened where the price of Bitcoin dropped, you know, 20% in one day, I'm sure many exchanges would have many problems with that price drop, with delivering on contracts and the futures contracts and all that. So there is no foolproof system. This is still the human world. There are imperfections, flaws, but you know, we're protected against foreseen risk, at least. And we try to do everything we can to extend that over that and protect our users.
How can someone using your company feel safe, both that you guys have all the right security implemented and that no one there is going to run off with some private keys when you guys are holding customer funds?
Well, of course. So what we have with our at least Bitcoin wallet service provider, we have they're handling the assets. They're an established company already. So, you know, they aren't going to run off with the money. They have optimal security and their service record is pristine. So that's why we chose them. Everything will be viewable on the account by the user. So they can see if anything shady has gone on with that account that's being held by that trusted wallet service provider. And in addition to that, we will also offer that FDIC-style insurance for users. So they'll be protected up to $250,000. God forbid anything happens, as long as, you know, it's not their fault, as long as they didn't leave a key out somewhere and their crazy uncle found it and stole money from them. You know, obviously, that's up to you. There is a level of security that the user needs to keep up. But, you know, we try our best to educate our users about those subjects and make sure that everything is okay. But we do have that insurance. We have, at least for our site too, on our end, standard financial encryption for online transactions. So we're doing everything we can to make people feel safe. You know, we're an open American exchange. We're based here in the U.S. in Boston. And we provide all the contact information for all of our executives on our site. So we, you know, people don't want to trade with somebody that they can't get in contact with their executives within this Bitcoin space. It's pretty much a standard that needs to be followed.
Are you able to talk about who the wallet provider and insurance company are?
We're still in talks with them. It'll be announced on our site.
Okay.
If you guys, you know, sign up for the newsletter, just give your email out. We'll definitely disclose that information. But I'm sure pretty much everyone listening to your program has heard about them.
Is anyone else doing this in the space right now?
Not exactly what we're doing. I actually did not even mention what the cherry on top of our exchange is all about. So most people now, they offer either binary options, which is essentially gambling. That's, you know, I think Bitcoin will be above 200 today or below 200 today, and you cash out on that. It's extremely random, very risky. It's straight up gambling, like at a slot machine. Otherwise, in this space, they do have vanilla options, or as I said, European-style options, which gives you the right to buy and sell only at one future date. So it's kind of like a future, but it still has that optionality if you want to execute it or not. You don't have to deliver. Other than that, they're pretty much – obviously, well, the big ones, Terra Exchange and LedgerX, we're in close contact with their executives, and they're only going to focus on the institutional side at this point, whereas we'll have some institutional players that have already committed with NDAs and letters of intent. But other than that, we'll be focusing on the retail market specifically. So individual traders, people who trade assets already, day traders, and Bitcoin traders as well. And what we're doing for our platform is we're providing the tools for people to learn more about Bitcoin trading and also options trading. So we're trying to make this all inclusive and get everyone that we can trading on our platform.
Today's magic word is dead. D-E-A-D. Use the magic word and claim your share of this week's listener reward of LTB coin on letstalkbitcoin.com. And to everyone who participates in the Let's Talk Bitcoin listener rewards program, congratulations for getting your feet wet and being part of the forefront of blockchain-based media. Who are your executives behind Alt Options?
Our CEO, Jojo. He's from Shanghai, and he's worked many financial jobs. He's been a trader since high school, like me. He's also worked at financial institutions such as banks in China. He's worked for mergers and acquisitions companies in the U.S. and done some trading for some individuals as well. He founded the Boston University Trading Club and was heavily focused on the derivatives sector. He's been trading derivatives for many years as well. He's also worked for Forex companies. He's got an incredible reach in this financial space, and I'm very happy to have him as the CEO and also one of my best friends in Boston. I trust him with my life, financially, that is. And let's see, our other executives that we have. We're currently changing up our CTO, so we're interviewing for that position right now. But we have some very strong candidates with, Ivy League graduates, worked for a number of financial institutions, such as Goldman, Lehman Brothers. And in addition to that, our other CFO, his name is Kevin Fu. He graduated from Boston University with us, finance, summa cum laude. He's been a trader while for himself, and he's a very careful individual, so that's why he's also handling our compliance. And we also have outsourced a few things. We have a legal team with a local Boston firm. It's actually a Nutter, and we have outsourced our development, our back end at least, to another firm in Massachusetts that we know. We have a bunch of other bright talent ranging from age 50 to interns in college right now. They're doing great. We're looking to hire more people. We've secured our first round of seed funding, so we're looking to hit the ground running.
Are there any more details about your seed round that you're able to tell me?
At this point, no. Just because we're still in terms talks, we have multiple people interested here in Boston and overseas. So we're just trying to figure out what's best for us at this point.
Well, that sounds like a good problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get into Bitcoin?
Oh, well, how I got into Bitcoin was our CEO, Joe. He ended up, we were actually, it was after class one day. I attended a few meetings of his trading club and like the derivative sector meetings, and just sitting in his room one day doing homework, and he's just like, yeah, have you heard of this internet currency called Bitcoin? I'm like, yeah, I think I heard something on the news about it. I'm not sure. And this was like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I think. And so I just started looking into it, and he was showing me, he's like, yeah. We also were taking our financial concentration classes at the time, so I was learning a lot about derivatives. And he's like, yeah, look at how volatile this is. Like, it's incredible. It's just shooting up and down, and there's no options market for this. There's no professional place to speculate and hedge efficiently on this crazy moving asset. And I was just like, how is this possible? Like, at the time, there were spot trading firms. Coinbase was there, Bitstamp, all of them, and they were very established, had a huge volume, and especially the Chinese exchanges. And there was no derivatives market at this point. There was nothing. There were people on this looked like some GUI programs forum online from 1992 that were like trading options. And that was absolutely ridiculous to me. I couldn't believe real money or real Bitcoin was exchanging hands in that way. And so he's just like, yeah, I've been thinking we need to have this exchange, a legitimate exchange for people to treat this like any other financial asset and mitigate risk for themselves. So that's how we started this company. And after a little over a year or so, this is where we are at this point. And there's a few competitors in the space now. It's not going to get less competitive. It's definitely going to heat up, especially for our specific product that we offer.
So you are in San Francisco right now. Is this on business for Alt Options?
Yeah, unexpectedly. Of course, you know, business can be done anywhere, especially when you're with these brilliant minds here at the Crypto Castle. But yeah, I met up with some accelerators in the space, Plug and Play. We've got a lot of connections there. So they're one of the most active accelerators in Silicon Valley right now. They're still smaller. They're still starting out, but had a great time there the other day at the Internet of Things. And so, yeah, there's a couple of interns working there from BU. Got to know them pretty well. And yeah, they're brilliant people. But otherwise, the main reason I was coming here actually was for the Grateful Dead show that's happening this weekend.
Wow, I would have thought you were maybe young to be a Deadhead.
Yeah, new Dead, definitely new Dead. But hey, this is the last shows that they're playing in California, so I'm trying to get as much as I can before they're done for good.
So you mentioned you're at the Crypto Castle, which I've heard of, and can you tell me more about what that place is all about?
Yeah, sure. It's the headquarters of Augur, which is a predictions market. They just launched their alpha. Definitely check them out. Jeremy's the CEO and also the owner of this house. It's simply a place where, you know, crypto people can come and stay. It's an Airbnb thing. They expect a little bit of compensation, at least for spending some time here. But I mean, it's not much by any means. They're very good people. And, you know, I feel more than happy to throw them some Bitcoin or throw some beer their way too, you know, whatever works. There's a lot of developers living here, specifically for Augur. And yeah, it's a very nice place. Beautiful house.
It doesn't look like a castle though, right?
No. Yeah, it's searchable on Google. It exists if you search Google Maps, Crypto Castle. It just looks like a normal house in the Mission.
Well, it must be fun to be around all those people in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a hoot. It's a hoot. You get to talk about everything that's going on in the industry. And yeah, it's a great place to be in San Francisco with all these accelerators and fintech companies.
Well, when do you expect Alt Options will be open for business to the general public?
Our trading platform should be up and operational in July for people looking to paper trade on our beta. So that's when you'll be able to sign up, you know, have your account, password, everything on your own. Also, at the end of August, beginning of September, we're holding a trading competition where there'll be real Bitcoin prizes for those winners. It'll be paper trading, so anybody can participate. There's nothing to lose. You can only learn about trading from this and also win some real Bitcoin prizes.
Okay, and how about trading real Bitcoins?
Trading real Bitcoins, it will be done by the end of the summer. So at the end of August, we're projecting. Anything can happen, obviously, but we've been here for a while developing our platform. We already have our banking partner and our wallet provider integrated technically into our system, but we're not utilizing their services just yet.
So I guess you guys obviously have fees. How do the fees work?
Of course. So spot trading, there's going to be a fee there, you know, a commission, and also a price for the contracts that you have to pay. There's going to be a small fee included with every contract based off of the price of the underlying asset. So the fee structure will be viewable on our site. We're still finalizing that with our financial team, but it'll be the same as other exchanges. Obviously, free to deposit, free to withdraw. That's standard. We also offer expedited services through our banking partner, which will cost money for you to get instant bank withdrawals carried out. But otherwise, you know, the 3-day ACH transfer, that's free. In addition to that, too, we will offer margin initially for institutional clients. That is one thing that I didn't include with the leverage. We're going to offer margin for our users, so we'll be making money off of that interest. But other than that, yeah, there's really no other fees associated.
Okay, so you mentioned ACH, and I was just thinking Bitcoin. Like, can you fund your account with Bitcoin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's why we have the wallet partner. You'll have Bitcoin You'll have fiat if you want, whatever works. It's still, you know, a value in your account.
And I don't know if this is kind of too abstract to answer, but how do you price? How much does it cost for an option? And I know obviously it depends on the option.
Traditionally, there are many ways to price options. The most famous one which started the options market was Black-Scholes. Pretty much it was back in like around the 70s. This Professor Black and Professor Scholl, they created this equation from many of them that were out there at the time. But there was one factor that they actually couldn't take into account in their equation, and it was called risk. Risk is uncertain. You know, anything could happen. Governments can fail. But what they were able to do ingeniously at the time, they had met up with this Japanese rocket scientist that was able to instantaneously calculate a rocket's position in four-dimensional space. And utilizing that same sort of prediction equation, they were able to integrate that into their current equations and essentially take out risk as a variable. It was built into the equation. It was a constant. And after that, they were able to create a portfolio that didn't go up and it didn't go down. It just stayed completely flat regardless of what the market movement was. And so we've, you know, built upon that in our own way. There's no risk-free rate for Bitcoin. So we had to have our quants work out something there.
You're who?
Our quantitative people that do like equations for stock trading.
Okay.
And so we ended up creating was that pricing algorithm that we could use to price Bitcoin options for people.
We connected because I met, I guess, a friend of yours. I don't know if he's a friend or a partner, Akash.
Ah, yes. He works for our company as well. He's been with us since the start, and he's interning in New York right now, but he's still working with our team remotely.
Okay, and he's active with the College Crypto Network too, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that something you're involved in also?
Yes. That's actually how I met Jeremy and all these great people was at the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami at the beginning of this year. And, you know, they provide an incredible amount of resources for these individual chapters. I actually, with Akash, started the Bitcoin Club at Boston University. We were the only university in pretty much Boston that didn't have one. There's plans to integrate basically most of the administrative tasks and duties into the blockchain. So much of it will be automated, easier, and we'll be able to vote for at our individual chapters, the higher ups that oversee the CCN. It's a lot like, you know, how we have local and state governments in the United States, and we will be using the blockchain to vote in those members.
What exactly does the College Crypto Network do?
Our mission is to just increase the understanding of cryptocurrency, specifically Bitcoin in the space, but by no means exclusionary. You know, providing a network for people to get funding for projects, to get developers for projects, or simply just bounce off ideas. We've got a Slack that, you know, anybody can join that's registered, that's in college. And we'll just go there, talk about startups, talk about ideas. And when we have Bitcoin events like recently coming up right now here, there's the Inside Bitcoin's Chicago conference. And what we've done is, you know, we've gotten together the guys, we've pulled together some money, and we're getting a huge Airbnb. So we'll all stay there together. It's much more economical. And, you know, we can all Uber it together to places. With travel in packs, it's much more efficient for economies of scale.
So does each individual school kind of have to become a member, or is it on more of an individual basis?
It's sort of an individual basis. Like individually, you'll have people that sign up. And as long as you provide like an EDU email address, you can sign up.
So where do people go to get to Alt Options?
They simply just go to altoptions.com. That's ALT-OPTIONS.com. That's where you can go to learn more information, sign up for our trading competitions, our private beta, as well as, you know, look up the team members that we have and contact them if you'd like.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Marco.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to episode 21 of The Bitcoin Game. While I understand the problems that leverage trading solves, I have to admit it scares me a bit. Will there be a day when Bitcoin evolves into a system with fractional reserve banking and too much faith in complex leveraged assets? I guess that's a discussion for another time. There's a lot of compelling Bitcoin content out there, so I truly appreciate you took the time to listen to this podcast. You can find me on Twitter as the BTC Game, and you can find a listing of all the Bitcoin Game episodes at thebitcoingame.com. Please visit this episode's page and tell me what you think. See you next time.